Thank you for standing by. This is the conference operator. Welcome to the Martello Technologies Group third quarter fiscal 2020 results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode, and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity for investors and analysts to ask questions. To join the question queue, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. Should you need assistance during the conference call, you may signal an operator by pressing star and zero. Today we will hear from John Proctor, President and CEO of Martello, and Aaron Crowe, Martello's Chief Financial Officer. On the first part of the call, we will provide insights into the company's performance in the third quarter of the 2020 fiscal year. After that, John and Aaron will be available to answer your questions. Martello's fiscal year ends on March 31st, so today's results focus on the period ending December 31st, 2019. First, here are a couple of housekeeping notices. If you'd like more information about Martello after today's call, you can reach Martello at investor@martellotech.com. This call is being recorded, and we expect that the recording will be available on Martello's website today. We remind you that today's remarks will include forward-looking statements that are subject to important risks and uncertainties. For more information on these risks and uncertainties, please see the reader advisory at the bottom of Martello's results news release, as well as their MD&A. It is on their website and on SEDAR. The company's actual performance could differ materially from these statements. We'll start the call with a review of the numbers from Aaron Crowe, Martello's CFO. Aaron?
Thank you. In Q2 of fiscal 2020, Martello continued to focus on increasing monthly recurring revenue while moving towards positive adjusted EBITDA. I'll provide more details on our progress on these objectives this morning. Before we take a closer look at the numbers, I'd like to share a short bit of background on Martello. Martello is in the business of making increasingly complex IT environments simpler to manage. We are a global technology company providing solutions that make critical real-time cloud services like voice over IP, video streaming, and business applications perform better. Martello has thousands of customers in more than 175 countries around the world. Here are the highlights of the third quarter fiscal 2020 results. Monthly recurring revenues, or MRR, increased by 15% over the same quarter of fiscal 2019 to $990,000 for the third quarter of fiscal 2020. I'm pleased to report that in December 2019, we attained $1 million of monthly recurring revenue. Although MRR is a non-IFRS measure, it offers insight into the predictability of Martello's monthly revenue stream. Total revenue in the third quarter of fiscal 2020 was $3.4 million, an increase of 9% compared to the same quarter of fiscal 2019. The recurring portion of total revenue was 88% in Q3 of fiscal 2020, which was higher than 75% in the same period of fiscal 2019. This can be attributed to growth in Unified Communications Performance Analytics revenue and the acquisition of Civision, with 85% of revenue recurring in Q3. Martello's organic revenue from sales of UC Performance Analytics software to the Mitel channel grew 25% in the 9 months ended December 31, 2019, and 9% for the 3 months ended December 31, 2019, compared to the same periods in fiscal 19. Our gross margins remain strong and consistent at 92.8% for the third quarter of fiscal 2020, compared to 93.9% in the same period last year. The loss from operations in Q3 2020 was $1.4 million, as compared to a loss of $1.3 million in Q3 2019. This is a decrease from the Q2 fiscal 20 operating loss of $1.45 million. Adjusted EBITDA, a non-IFRS financial measure which assesses operating performance before the impact of costs associated with acquisition activity and other non-cash costs, amounted to a loss of $840,000 in Q3 2020, compared to a loss of $270,000 for the same period in fiscal 2019. This loss is lower compared to the Q2 fiscal 2020 adjusted EBITDA loss of $990,000, representing a sequential improvement this quarter. The loss from operations and adjusted EBITDA loss are the result of investments made to date in sales, sales operations, marketing, and support services to create the foundation for future revenue growth. We believe these investments are now stabilizing. The company had $6.3 million in cash and restricted cash on hand as of December 31, 2019, compared to $6.6 million at the end of fiscal 2019. We are confident that Martello retains sufficient available cash and working capital to fund organic growth over the next year as the company focuses on moving toward positive adjusted EBITDA. As Martello continues to invest resources into developing integrated SaaS solutions that leverage our SD-WAN technology, SD-WAN and link balancing sales declined 29% compared to the same period in the prior year. This is expected, and we believe that the development of these integrated solutions will drive recurring revenue growth in the future. I'll now hand it over to John Proctor, our CEO, to discuss Martello's strategy.
Thanks, Erin. Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining us today. It was also great to see many of you at our Investor Day in December in Toronto. Today, I'll provide an update on our progress and a perspective on Martello's outlook. First, I am delighted that Martello reached an important milestone in Q3 of fiscal 2020 in December when we attained $1 million in monthly recurring revenue, which is a great achievement by our sales team. At the same time, I'm pleased we made progress toward positive adjusted EBITDA in Q3 of fiscal 2020. This means that Martello has now built a stable, robust, and scalable platform upon which to accelerate revenue growth. The significant investment we've made in this platform should begin to stabilize going forward. We are now focused on leveraging our solid gross margins, predictable revenue streams, and stabilizing expense base to move forward towards positive adjusted EBITDA. While there is now greater predictability to Martello's revenue and our operating expenses, certain one-time and acquisition-related costs could from time to time disrupt this progress. I'd like to provide an update on the development of integrated digital experience monitoring and optimization, or DEM, solutions. Martello's DEM solutions help businesses control the performance of their most critical cloud services, from Office 365 to Unified Communications, to ensure a superior digital user experience. Martello has some key competitive advantages in this market. First, we have 10 years of experience monitoring millions of Mitel IP phone users, and we have access to hundreds of channel partners that are already clients of Martello's products. Second, by developing a unique, vertically integrated technology stack, Martello can offer benefits in a single platform that would otherwise require multiple products from multiple vendors. Martello reached a milestone with the completion of its first integrated solution in February 2020. This integrates UC performance analytics with digital experience monitoring, offering Mitel partners a complete service-oriented view of their entire UC and IT infrastructure. Martello is now demonstrating this solution to potential customers. We are making progress on the development of an integrated SD-WAN solution designed to improve voice quality performance. We expect that trial of this solution will be complete later this year. While we are investing in this integrated product development program, we continue to grow revenue streams from our existing product lines. We also recognize that the channel is critical to selling all of these products and solutions, and therefore we are investing in building our channel network. We look forward to meeting many partners at the Channel Partners event in March. I'll now speak a bit about sales activity. As I mentioned, we are investing in building our channel, and I'd like to speak a bit about how we are aligning our sales strategy with model. Martello is prioritizing a channel sales organization, and that meant making certain resourcing decisions in Q3 to support this focus. We expect that the addition of a senior VP of channel sales in the coming months will help accelerate Martello's opportunity in the channel. We continue to diversify our revenue and client base globally. We onboarded new partners in Egypt and Australia in Q3 2020 and continue to see steady business in North America, Europe, Asia, Australia, and the Middle East. Hospitality continues to be a strong vertical for Martello, with many hotel properties in Asia, the United States, Europe, and the Middle East renewing or initiating subscriptions in Q3 2020, all from recognized global hotel brands. We've also seen continued growth in education. Universities using our products include University of Massachusetts Boston, Bermuda College, and Carleton University. In Q3 of fiscal 2020, we won significant deals from multi-billion dollar global media and telecommunications company, the municipal government of one of the largest counties in the U.S., and a U.S. energy company serving more than 1 million customers. We're seeing growing interest from managed service providers like OnePoint in the Netherlands and RichWeb in the U.S. in our IQ IT operations analytics software. And now I'd like to talk a bit about our partnership activity. We continue to develop and deepen our partnerships with Paessler, Microsoft, and WatchGuard. And I'd like to talk a bit more about detail about our ongoing work with Mitel. Even as we diversify our revenue base, such that this channel now represents 56% of revenues, we are growing this business by working closely with Mitel. You might recall that in January of 2019, we completed an amendment to our commercial agreement with Mitel, in part to expand the core platforms Martello software will support. In the next release of UC Performance Analytics software, I'm pleased to note that we will now support the MyVoice 5000, which is used by many Mitel customers in France. This opens the French market to us and an associated new revenue stream. Recurring revenue from sales of Mitel Performance Analytics grew by 25% in the 9 months ended December 31st, 2019, as compared to the same period in the prior year. As we continuously improve our product and address additional Mitel platforms, we know that our addressable market here continues to be significant. And finally, I will talk about Martello's acquisition activity. We continue to pursue acquisitions that are accretive to our objectives to increase recurring revenue and grow our suite of integrated DEM solutions. Our M&A discussions are very focused and progressing well. We look forward to updating all of you shortly. To wrap up, I want to leave you with my perspective on Martello's outlook. I believe there are three important pillars to Martello's strategy to generate value for you, our shareholders. The first is our focus on high quality, high margin, recurring revenue growth for greater predictability. The second is our commitment to moving forwards towards adjusted positive EBITDA. And finally, we are focused on developing integrated DEM solutions, which we expect will make Martello a recognized vendor in this market in the future. I'm pleased that we are seeing positive progress on all three of these pillars. A 15% increase in MRR year over year, a decreased adjusted EBITDA loss, and progress on integrated DEM solution development and customer trials. Aaron and I will now answer your questions. Operator, could you please facilitate the question and answer part of this call?
Certainly. We will now begin the question and answer session. Investors and analysts who wish to join the question queue may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing any keys. To withdraw from the question queue, please press star, then two. Once again, anyone on the conference call who wishes to ask a question may press star at this time. Our very first question comes from Jeff Tucci with Echelon Wealth Partners. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning, guys, and thanks for taking my questions. I guess I'll start by asking about the degree of cross-selling across the divisions in the quarter and how the company is getting better at this over time.
So the cross-selling part, one of the key pieces there is our Mitel channel piece. And as I mentioned, one thing we're really excited with is this IQ MPA integration, which allows the thousands of customers that bought MPA to bring IQ into their environment so they can actually start monitoring MPA and the IT environment. So this is a step. It's not a pure cross sell. It's not we have, hey, you bought X, now would you like to buy Y? It's the fact that IQ actually pulls the MPA into its environment as well. So it's a more significant step than that, which has required technology development. So I'm very pleased with that piece. And then the same thing with the SD-WAN, rather than do a pure cross-sell there, we're on our first trials with, actually showing we actually improve that unified communications with the SD-WAN. So that's a fairly significant piece. And the other aspect of this is because we have access to that data, we're not going on with a cold call cross-sell. We're going into these MPA customers saying, we can actually see the challenges your network has, and we actually have a solution for what you're seeing. So if you think about a Mitel reseller, they may have 20 customers that they're offering Mitel as a service to. We can pick the three that we can see have the worst network performance and go and have a discussion. But to do that, we have to have this integrated solution. So this is why the productization of this has been key and the technology required to do that, the technology development to do that has been important and taken a bit of time, but now we're kicking that off. So I see this cross-sell starting to accelerate. And like I said, it's not a distinct cross-sell, it's an integrated cross-sell, which is harder to do.
So just as a follow-up to that question, John, thanks for all that color. Do you have an expected timeline for that integrated product to start generating its first early sales in its go-to-market strategy?
The IQ MPA, we're expecting Q1 next year, we'll start to see first revenue starting to kick off.
Okay, fantastic. Thanks. And in your press release, you did note some big deals that you've signed in the quarter. I guess in general terms, can you speak to the average size of the deal and how it's changed or developed over the past 12 to 16 months for the company?
Yeah, so I mean, if you look at sort of the pieces here, it becomes quite interesting. Now, IQ is still a relatively new product. It only came out in 2018. And the initial purchase of that were sort of small single sale items. So around sort of, 10 to 15K type sales. What we're seeing now is as we've got these bigger, much larger number of integrations, and those are on our website, you can see how many technologies we integrate with. You now find not only are we upselling those integrations to customers, but at the same time, you've got, for instance, this large global media company has bought, and this one was a 100K plus deal. And we're starting to see those individuals pick up, which, when you look at that from a quarter perspective, you get two or three or four of those, and, the numbers make their quarter. The thing to do with that, though, is an adjustment for the sales team. When you're dealing with much bigger companies and dealing with a bigger purchase, the sales team have to understand the procurement process. They have to understand what it takes to close a bigger deal into a bigger organization and that bigger organization's processes. So there's been a sort of adjustment of recognizing that the IQ product has become of interest to much larger enterprises than it did before, and that takes a little bit more work and a little bit more focus and a little bit more understanding of the other end.
Okay, perfect. Thanks. And I guess just the last one from here, and I'll requeue. But can you give us an update as to your current penetration into the Mitel channel and any early benefits from the Paisler Microsoft co-sell partnerships that are still in its early days?
Yeah, I'll start with Mitel. I mean, the exciting thing for us is we finally, and it's again, we talk about barrier to entry. Why nobody else does analytics for Mitel? If you think about it, from signing the agreement last year to getting our analytics and our tooling wrapped around the 5,000 has taken a year of R&D. So unless you're already in that system and you've already got the processes, you're not going to do that as an external company. So that's a great piece for us. And we're now offering that in France. In fact, the sales kickoff is this week in Europe. So Terry Matthews is there. Our team is there. Our co-chair is there with the whole Mitel, the Mitel CEO, kicking off that the 5,000 in France can now use our analytics software. And there's a revenue stream that, we expect to start picking up again, probably heading Q1 next financial and moving forward. So we still see that penetration going. And again, if you look at the rate of our sales of MPA, it's higher than Mitel sales of its system. So it reinforces our thesis of our company as companies have more complicated networks, they need our software more to understand the unified communications environment. So penetration of the Mitel systems keeps going. Our attachment rates are increasing, and we've still got another system to go. We agreed not just for the 5,000, there was another system as well that we're now also going to bring to market. So we have a couple more revenue streams of Mitel systems yet to go on their phone systems. Paisler's good. I spoke to the CEO of Paisler only last week. They are same thing. 1 April, they will start a full OEM relationship with us. In other words, their whole sales team is going to be offering IQ with their product PRTG Plus going forward as of 1 April. And it's a fully OEM relationship, so similar to Mitel. So my overheads for selling IQ down the PRT channel are very, very small. And they've got a very large sales force that will be offering this. So again, that'll be yet another new revenue stream kicking off Q1 FY21. So that's great news in that respect. Microsoft is huge. They're a very, very large organization. We started conversations with them, and we're focused on two key markets, and we've picked two specifically because they're close. One is Europe, because, again, we have somebody who can focus with Microsoft in Europe on that, and the same then in Canada, and specifically Toronto and Montreal will be two focus areas for us. One, because we have Microsoft relationships in both those areas, and two, because, you know, close to us here in Kanata, where we can have a sales guy. Because, again, like a very, very large organization, unless you stay, you know, focused on them, they have a whole bunch of other companies clamoring for their attention. So you've got to put the horsepower in to make that work.
Okay. Thanks for the color, John. Thank you.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. Our next question comes from Todd Coupland with CIBC. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. I wanted to have you talk about the timing to positive EBITDA. What's the goal at this point in time?
Yeah, so I think on the adjusted EBITDA side, we've talked for the last couple of quarters about the fact that we are focused on driving towards that positive adjusted EBITDA. We did make some improvements this quarter. You know, we certainly see that our operating expenses have stabilized at this point, and that as we generate the additional revenue that's coming in, that's true EBITDA leverage that will drop to the bottom line and therefore drive that positive adjusted EBITDA. So we are, I think that we're headed in the right direction, and we certainly see ourselves getting to adjusted EBITDA positive at some point in the not too distant future.
Okay. And when you think about possible acquisitions that could be added, how does that impact that goal?
Yeah, so acquisitions could certainly disrupt that goal temporarily, but I think it doesn't change ultimately that we need to stay focused on driving that positive adjusted EBITDA. I mean, there may be a blip, absolutely, that would not be abnormal, I think, as you're going through an acquisition, but it doesn't take our eye off that target.
Okay. And my last question is, you know, you're talking about a few different opportunities, new products coming, new partners, or partnership opportunities like Mitel or Microsoft. Is there any revenue growth outlook commentary you can provide us to give an idea on what level of growth we should expect over the coming year? That'd be helpful. Thanks very much.
Yeah, so I think in my natural conservative way, I'm going to say no. I mean, we've been pretty clear that we're not providing guidance. So I think, you know, we have certainly spoken today about some of the opportunities that we see in front of us. You know, and we absolutely have expectations that revenue will be seen from those within the next couple of quarters. But I think at this point, it's too early to give any specific numbers or growth projections.
Great. Thanks very much.
And Todd, I just want to finish up on that. I think for me, that monthly recurring revenue becomes the key stabilization. I mean, we can all sit and look at the volatility of the market at the moment. The amount of work we put in getting that, you know, crossing that 1 million monthly recurring revenue, you know, barrier, if you look at where we were sort of 24 months ago with that number, that's a fairly significant point for us to achieve. So I'm very pleased in how we've transitioned. You know, when we've acquired a sales team, one thing we focus on is transitioning them to saying, no, I get one times and I get numbers, but monthly recurring revenue is a stabilization point. So that's, of these results, I'm extremely pleased with that metric because, again, it gives me that stabilization factor and gives, for the market, that predictability of our revenue moving forward.
Thanks for the color. Appreciate it.
Our next question comes from Kevin Krishnaratne with Paradigm Capital. Please go ahead.
Hey there, guys. Good morning. I had a question for you on the Mitel channel growth there. The organic growth this quarter was around 25%, very solid, but slightly lower than what you'd seen in the past couple of quarters. And I'm wondering if that had anything to do with the channel reorg, how you see that pacing over the next couple of quarters, and just you know, any thoughts that you could provide on that metric.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. So interesting point. You know, one of the things that happened actually in Q3 of last year is that we had some one-time perpetual license deals with Mitel that bumped the revenue in Q3 last year. And if you were to sort of look at the trending on the Mitel revenue, so it was up in Q3 and then it dropped again in Q4. So I think, you know, as a general statement, I don't think we see an overall decline in the growth rate there. I think this quarter there's a bit of a blip just because of what happened last year.
Sorry, that is, so if you're looking at subscription revenue versus subscription revenue Q3 of 20 to 19, that how did that compare to the subscription revenue growth in Q2?
Yeah, so it was about if I look at subscription Q3 this year versus Q3 last year, without a calculator in front of me, it's about a 20%, just over 20% growth.
Okay, and just with regards to the opportunity going forward, you mentioned that you've opened up the MyVoice 5000, and there's another system on the way. Can you remind us if you step back and look at Mitel overall, they've got something like 65 to 70 million phone systems, you know, worldwide. How much coverage do you have across if you were to take all Mitel systems? What type of in terms of the coverage of your opportunity to ultimately sell into?
So, I mean, we're looking at attachment rates here, and this is where, you know, we make the point of saying our attachment rate on average is around 20% across the different systems we monitor for them. So some it's higher, some it's lower, but if I look at that as an average of 20%, and again, you know, if you think about it from the growth perspective, that means we've still got 80% of the Mitel install base that we are still growing into. So this becomes kind of key, and even, you know, today I'm seeing feedback from Europe. There's a UK partner who's looking for some capabilities that MPA software has, and they want to bring it to all their customers, particularly the remote access. So I still see a lot of space to grow into in the Mitel space, not only, as you said, adding new systems, but even with their current install base.
Okay, thanks for that, John. Maybe the last one from me then, just on the integrated solutions, a few different pieces there you mentioned. Number one, I think you're starting to demonstrate some product offerings this month with customers, and then you talked about an SD-WAN solution potentially later on in this year. Can you just speak to those two opportunities, and then with regards to those opportunities, how are you thinking about the way that those services might be priced?
Yeah, so we are, you know, literally launching this week at the Mitel kickoff, because all the Mitel partners are there in Europe, the IQ MPA integration, and we're able to demonstrate that. It's not a thought piece. It's not slideware. People can go in and actually see and play with the tool set and see how it works and how they can monitor everything from Splunk to any other sort of product, Nagios, you know, all while they're keeping an eye on their phone system. So that's kind of key for us. So when we look at that and say, you know, we're already kicking this off, we've already got partners and we've already got express interest. So we're now just, you know, starting to get the first customers coming on board with that one. The SD-WAN is the more complex one. We've got a very close Mitel partner who is the, you know, test base for this. They run a number of Mitel phone systems for clients. We've already proved it works for one phone system for them, and they're very pleased with how it's going. What was interesting was they had been looking at a very large SD-WAN competitor, and there are many. That's a very busy market. But what they found out was it took half an hour to set up our system compared to 4 hours to this large SD-WAN competitor. And for them, that's money. That's a lot of money they can save by using our SD-WAN instead of this other one. So they basically dropped their competitor, and they're using us. But this is not just the fact that, you know, we know we work with Mitel and they want the Mitel phone systems. We still have to be a good SD-WAN technology underneath. So that was quite pleasing when that goes forward. So we want to get through this proof of concept with these guys. As a Mitel partner, they're teaching us quite a lot about what they need this system to be able to do. And then, you know, being able to use them as a referenceable, you know, proof of concept to go to other Mitel partners will be the next step after that.
Okay, great. Thank you. And just a further final comment there, how would you think about, you know, pricing models, you know, maybe relative to what's out there in the market? How would you, you know, go about, you know, working with your partners to price this at the end customer? Just any thoughts there? I know it's early, but just wanted to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, so I'll use IQ to first bit. I mean, some of the pricing is on our website, right? So our integration pricing is actually on the website. People can look at that. Obviously, if you're a partner, you're going through a reseller, there's all sorts of discount models. But that one's relatively simple in respect of how that works. The SD-WAN is slightly more complex because we want to price that as a service. We want monthly recurring revenue from that environment. So this is where we're aligning to that Mitel partner system. So if they're offering phone as a service, we want to offer SD-WAN as a service aligned to that business. So that will be how that will be priced. And again, you know, has to be competitive, has to make sense in that solution. But we know we can be price competitive. If I can close, you know, deals in places like Vietnam and India, you know, for SD-WAN, I'm very, very, you know, clear that I can be price competitive in that market.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys.
This concludes the question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to John Proctor for closing remarks.
Thank you. On behalf of all of us at Martello, thank you for your continued interest. As I mentioned earlier, you can reach us by emailing investor@martellotech.com. Thank you all and have a great day.
This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating and have a pleasant day.